Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Danny Parkin Show Flashback.
As far as the consultant, I mean, we had that, which resulted in the hiring of Ryan. We had Ernie Accorsi. The guy's got Hall of Fame credentials. Been successful with two teams and did a great job, first of all, establishing credibility for us in the interview room, and secondly, guiding us through the process and helping with the selection. I've heard a lot about, you know, you need a quote-unquote football guy, a czar, a president of football operations, whatever. In our structure, the football guy is the general manager. And even if you had a president of football operations, that person at some point would have to be reporting to it. But you described Danny as a non-football person. So to me, it's not so much the structure as it is the people. We think we've got the right people. We understand not everybody agrees with that, but we think we do.
The Danny Parkin Show on 670 The Score.
And I think that the results speak for themselves. Six playoff appearances in 22 years with Ted Phillips as the president of the Bears. No playoff wins in 10 years and 35 years since a Super Bowl. Thanks again to George McCaskey for coming on. Mark Brody is in. It is the Danny Parkin Show. And again, I would not have fired Matt Nagy because I think that Matt Nagy is propping up Ryan Pace. And I think that Matt Nagy has won 12 games, 8 games, and 8 games with no quarterback and a bad GM. So that doesn't mean he's awesome at his job, because I've been critical, especially in-game, on some of the aggression and stuff and the game management stuff. But if you fired Matt Nagy when six other teams are already looking for head coaches, 3 years into a 5-year deal, when he's had no losing seasons, good luck getting a great candidate for head coach. So I would not have fired Matt Nagy. I've been very clear on that.
Yeah, but I agree. I agree with it. Go ahead, Danny.
No, and I was going to say, but I would have moved on from Ryan Pace, because to me, Mark, it was like, I'm a very, like, I try to do things like take them to their logical conclusion. If premise A is true, Matt Nagy and Mitch Trubisky cannot coexist anymore, and then premise B is true, well, Matt Nagy's not getting fired, right? Nagy's got 2 years left on his deal. Mitch has zero. Well, so then Mitch is gone, and so then that means C, they need a new QB. And well, that would mean D, Ryan Pace is selecting that quarterback, and that's where it breaks down for me. He can't pick another quarterback when he messed it up so much with Mitch Trubisky in the 2017 draft, which is why I wanted some sort of acknowledgement of the accountability of the mistake of 2017, and I still feel so unsatisfied.
I think Matt Nagy selected their quarterback last year. I think that he had heavy influence in Nick Foles, and as soon as he could, he did get Mitchell Trubisky out of there. Now, Trubisky, even though he was winning as the quarterback, he didn't look great in those first three games, and I didn't have a problem with them benching him in the Atlanta game. But I do think that already we saw Matt Nagy having his fingerprints on the quarterback that they selected last year.
I agree with that. It's not the same. Trading a fourth-round pick for a 30-year-old to come in for a quarterback competition is not the same as using a first-round pick on a QB, right? Like, the level of investment, you don't get fired for Nick Foles. You don't get fired for Mike Glennon. You get fired for Mitch Trubisky. Like, there's a difference, right?
Yeah, but it is fair. It's fair to point out that the head coach has some influence in that room. That this is not
I agree,
just
of course.
Because you're very fearful of Ryan Pace moving forward, selecting a quarterback, I think this time, regardless of anything that has been said or anything that you've heard, I think they'll be watching much more closely, vetting much more closely with whatever resources they have, whether that's George McCaskey or Matt Nagy or whomever scouts within the organization. I think that it will be vetted much more closely this time. And it's not just going to be, all right, Ryan Pace in his own room, in his own world, deciding who the quarterback is for the Chicago Bears next year.
The Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. 312-644-6767. You heard from the chairman of the Chicago Bears. Now we hear from you. Let's go to Rockford. Mike, you're on the Score. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. Listen, Ryan Pace is an apple pie-faced kid that has no idea what he's doing. Okay, he's got that American apple pie-looking face. And he might be a nice guy, but he has no idea what he's doing. He's clueless. He's traded away numerous draft picks to trade up to get guys that aren't even not no longer on the team. It's been evident he has no clue what he's doing, and it's evident that the Chicago Bear organization has no clue what they're doing. Let me ask both of you guys a question here. If George Halas was still alive, the McCaskies wouldn't be in charge of the organization. Let's say Mr. Halas was still alive, but he was kind of sitting back and letting them run. You think he would tolerate this incompetence? The man who was the founding father of the NFL? I mean, this guy would not accept mediocrity, okay? And they took over. The family took over through Virginia McCaskey, and they have single-handedly, since 1985, destroyed the infrastructure of the organization. And, I mean, I'm saying that because you had the 85 Bears, 86 Super Bowl. They were riding the coattails of what Mr. Halas did. It was after that, when Benici and Finks, after they were gone, that's when everything fell apart, guys. And I'm tired of this as a Bear fan. I'm 58 years old, and I'm sick and tired of it. And I thank Mr. McCaskey for coming on and showing his face. I would be publicly embarrassed. That's all I have to say, guys. Thank you.
Mike, thank you very much for the call. Though I will say I had one problem with his call, Grody. Mm-hmm. We want callers to start how Bob and Downers Grove started yesterday.
How you guys doing, first of all, whatever?
Yeah, that would be great.
Please, yeah, everybody that calls in your own way, ask us how we're doing and then say whatever. And if you don't say whatever, we'll say whatever.
That would be preferable. Yeah,
I do want to answer his question. He said, would George Halas ever have put up with all of this? First of all, we obviously don't know. I would say that based on everything I've heard from ex-players who did know George Halas, who worked for George Halas, that he may have struggled in this era of free agency, because the famous line about him, the thing that we do know about him, is that he didn't like to pay people a whole lot of money. And maybe that would have evolved and that would have changed, but the analogy has always been he throws around pennies like manhole covers or whatever it is. I might be botching it, but based on some of the intel that we have from former players, I don't know if he would have been a great modern-day owner. I don't know that.
I completely agree with you. Hopefully he would have evolved, but he'd be what? Like 140 years old or something like that if it was today, right? You know what I mean? Like I have no way to know what George Halas would do.
You don't know.
I have no – oh, my God. Speak of the devil. Bob in Downers Grove is back on the Score.
3-2-1.
What's up, Bob?
Hey, Grody, how you doing? Danny, whatever, man. You know, I got a bone to pick with you, Danny. And it's this. Okay, the gap between Deshaun Watson and Mitchell Trubisky and Patrick Mahomes has it widened since they've gotten to the NFL. I mean, Watson and Mahomes were better than Trubisky. I mean, much better. I don't believe for one second that anybody else in the NFL was scouting the two of them together. You would never do that. If you were scouting Trubisky, you would be looking for the fifth round. If you were scouting Watson, you'd be picking where the Bears picked. Anyway, answer my question. Has the gap gotten wider?
Yes. Whatever, Bob.
Yeah, whatever. But yeah, yes.
Hello?
Yes, it has. Yes.
Oh, why do you think that is?
Because they're better football players, and in the case of Pat Mahomes, he went to the perfect situation.
No, they have better coaches, man. Like You are so wrong. You are so wrong when you say if the Bears drafted Watson, Watson would be what he is today. Matt Nagy cannot coach a quarterback to save his life. There's a direct line from Mitch Trubisky being what he is today and Matt Nagy coaching.
Do you have
him.
Any I mean, evidence that Bill O'Brien is a better coach than Matt Nagy? Do you have one piece of evidence?
It's not even the head coach. It's who the head coach hires as his position coaches. And yes, I do have evidence. No, I'm not wrong. I do have evidence. It's the fact that Watson and Mahomes have progressed immensely better than Trubisky, and it has nothing to do with physical talent.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second. Bob, you think that Pat Mahomes doesn't have more physical talent than Mitch Trubisky, and you believe that if Mitch Trubisky was on the Chiefs, he would currently be like Pat Mahomes?
In a short answer, because I don't want to get into it because it's way too deep for you, but yes, I do.
You're out of your mind, dude.
Like,
there's nothing to suggest. Matt Nagy
gets another quarterback or he starts Foles next year and he tries to run his crap offense again, which doesn't work, what do you think the result is going to be?
Bob, I mean, it depends how good of a quarterback he gets. There is nothing to suggest that now Mitch Trubisky would be better if he was on the Chiefs.
Much better, not just better.
Obviously, he would be, of course, because he would have Andy Reid, he would have Travis Kelce.
He'd be a top 10 quarterback.
Maybe he wouldn't, but there's nothing that suggests, whether it be football acumen.
Is Pat Mahomes a top 10 quarterback?
Pat Mahomes is arguably the greatest quarterback in the history of the sport.
You are smoking crack, dude. Arguably the greatest quarterback in the history of the sport after 3 years. What are you smoking, dude? Get out of here with that.
Thank you, Grody. I only smoke the best. That's number one.
I'm with you, but
smoke weed every day.
There's no way Pat Mahomes is one of the best quarterbacks ever in the NFL. Give me a break, dude. Come on.
He has an MVP, a Super Bowl, a Super Bowl MVP, and one of the three greatest statistical seasons in the history of the sport.
And he may never do anything again. I mean, you can't sit there and tell me after
he's going to finish second in the MVP this year.
So if he got hurt, never played again, would you put him in the Hall of Fame?
Bob, you're creating a straw man here. You're creating
put him in the Hall of Fame. Put him in the Hall.
All right, Bob. Thank you for the call. I appreciate
right
it.
Right.
Thank you. See you, Bob. Thank you. Whatever.
Oh, I feel honored to have had Bob on it got a little ugly though, man. I was just sitting back, relax, and let it fly there, Danny boy.
I don't even know where to begin. Like, of course, Pat Mahomes was dealt pocket aces. You go to Andy Reid, you get to sit for a year behind Alex Smith, then you come into the NFL, and you got Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce and a number one pick in Eric Fisher at left tackle and an all-pro at right tackle in Mitchell Schwartz, Sammy Watkins, Mecole Hardman, DeMarcus Robinson, like just weapons galore, speed galore. Of course, obviously he is in a way better situation, and any quarterback given Mitch Trubisky's hand or Pat Mahomes' hand, any quarterback would look better as Mahomes or Trubisky. But does anyone actually believe if tomorrow Pat Mahomes was on the Bears that they wouldn't be worlds better? That's insane. That's an insane premise.
Of course they would be better. And maybe it would have taken longer. Maybe it would have been a different route to his success. But he would have gotten there. You know, this is not like, I mean, he's in a good system, but I don't think, like, Mahomes could work in a lot of different systems. You know what I mean? Like, he's not like Tom Brady, we all always think of as a system quarterback. That's not Patrick Mahomes. He can improvise and can be in a system as well.
Bob.
Bob's the goods, though. Admit it.
I enjoy him. We had George McCaskey on earlier. Now we're hearing from you, Mark Grody. And let's see, who is next? We go to Griffith, Indiana. Adam, you're on the score.
Hey, Danny.
Hey, Adam.
You know, not that I really care, but how are you guys doing?
Yeah, excellent. Yeah.
Whatever. You didn't even say hi to me, man. You just said hi, Danny. How about hi, Mark? How about hi, Mark? No? What do you got?
I'm ahead of the game, and I don't even care about you.
Boom. Right. He knows you're just visiting. what's up, Adam?
Okay, so we're going to be looking at a new quarterback again and there isn't any quarterbacks to pick from, like, you know, fishing in a lake with no fish. So I was thinking we might as well just fire Mitch, keep Nick around, bite the bullet, lose another season badly, and see what the college season looks like next year, see if there's a, since you guys are talking about Mahomes, which gets on my nerves, if there's a Mahomes-type guy out there available instead of another no-name quarterback for the Chicago Bears. I can't deal with this anymore.
Adam, that's why I can't get over the 2017 draft, and I never will until they have a franchise quarterback, and I appreciate the call. And is there a Mahomes-type guy out there? People think that Zach Wilson from BYU is special and big arm talent and improvisation guy and all that, but like he's probably going to go top five, honestly. So, no. Talents like that do not come around very often. And it's not ridiculous to say that he is going to be in the conversation. Like, okay, GOAT, the Tom Brady is, he's the most accomplished quarterback ever. Aaron Rodgers is the most talented quarterback I had ever seen until Pat Mahomes. Pat Mahomes is the most talented quarterback I've ever seen. He hasn't done it for long enough, obviously. But in terms of pure talent, arm talent, production, have you seen anybody better?
I mean, in terms of, like, arm talent, like that, I would go back to, and he didn't even have the same success, but I would go to Dan Marino. I would say John Elway. Both of those guys had crazy, ridiculous arm talent that was on par with Patrick Mahomes, but at least in the case of Dan Marino, didn't win as much. Elway did, having won two Super Bowls, but Patrick Mahomes will probably catch that and pass that.
I just think it's a flawed way of evaluating this stuff, right? It's the ultimate team game. It's complementary, right? So Tom Brady's been to 9 Super Bowls. He's won 6 of them. But when you watch him, is he actually the most talented quarterback ever? I don't think it's close. Like, he's the guy that you'd want in a 2-minute drill situation at the end of the game. He's a winner, ice in his veins, all of that stuff. But, like, he's not the most talented quarterback ever. So, like, I do this two ways. He's the most accomplished quarterback ever, but he's not the best quarterback ever.
Right. Well, then I would. If that's your criterion, then I would put guys like Dan Marino and John Elway into that, like, in terms of just pure talented, big-armed quarterbacks, even the predecessor of Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre, as much as I hate to do that, I'd put him in there in terms of just raw and real talent, if you want to do it that way. That'd be an interesting list, like just top 10 most purely talented quarterbacks.
Texter, excellent point. Danny, isn't this the show where Pat Mahomes can just speak for himself? No, that's an excellent point. Let's see if we can get him. Can we get Pat Mahomes to address my allegation that he's already the most talented quarterback I've ever seen?
There really should be no allegation. I am the most talented quarterback, and it's not close. It's because I put ketchup on my steak. But give me, you get the Pat rate, the Pat Mahomes rate for State Farm Insurance? Do you get it? Once you get your own insurance rate, it's a pretty good chance you're the best to ever do it, you know?
That makes sense. That makes sense. That's a good argument.
It doesn't make sense.
Thank you, Pat.
Hey, you ever see me do that one thing where I look that way and I throw that way?
Yeah, it's impressive.
Yeah, it is.
It's impressive.
Well, Mitch, you know, I got to tell you, I've listened to this segment on the show before. I didn't realize that you actually did have Patrick Mahomes in studio, and now I know, because there it is. There it is.
We have a direct line into Pat Mahomes at all times. It's surprising, frankly.
Yeah.
But we're able to do it.
I thought it was a bit.
No, that's market three, buddy. That's market three. Afternoons at the Score. Special place.
Yeah.
Richard, Country Club Hills, you're on the Score. What's up, Richard?
Hey, gentlemen. How you doing? In life, sometimes, I'm 78 years old, been a Bear fan since 1954. Sometimes in life you have a choice. Say your average person on a job. Plant's going to close. You decide not to go to the plant that's staying open, but taking money that you might could have made if you had went with the plant. Okay, you go with the plant, you get a pension and everything was good. You made the right decision. But the Bears, 2017, The man had a choice. He made the wrong decision. We're going to be paying for it for the next 20 years, 30 years. I don't know. I'll be dead. But I won't see it in my lifetime. He had a choice. He blew it. And there it is. So, Bear fans, I'm going to stay a Bear fan, but we aren't going to – it's not going to be a lot of fun. I can tell you that.
Hey, man.
That man is speaking from history and experience.
Don't you go dying on us. You hear me?
Yeah, I won't. I try not to, but
yeah, we need you around a long time. I know.
It's sad, man. It's sad.
I know.
So thank you for listening to me.
Thank you for calling, Richard. Thank you.
Thank you.
Stay safe. Stay healthy. Don't let the Bears get you down, man.
Yeah, come on now. We need a lot of life from Richard. Here's something for Richard. I hope Richard is still listening, because I'll go back to this desperation thing. I don't know that the Bears are gonna. Like, we talk about whether or not they have the trust and the faith in developing another quarterback. Boy, that would be a risky route to do that again, to draft a guy and say, this is what we're going to do. We're going to – Nick Foles is going to be our starter, the bridge quarterback, and we're going to draft a guy and develop him. That's why I think, Danny, that the move to make will be to go out and get somebody like – and I don't think it's going to happen because it's in the division, but the Matthew Stafford, that type of guy, something very creative, a no-doubt-about-it slam-dunk quarterback as opposed to drafting a guy and depending on that guy to be your quarterback.
I mean, Stafford would be a dream outcome. I agree. I don't think it'll ever happen trading within the division. Not even convinced that Detroit is going to move on from him. But here's the thing. While I would be surprised if the Bears drafted a QB at 20 or traded up in the first round to take a quarterback and then have Nick Foles teach him for a little bit, it is the single most exciting thing your franchise can do. Like, it's better than trading for Cutler. It's better than anything. It's better than getting Stafford, because if you hit, it's the most valuable thing in sports.
Sure.
Franchise quarterback on a rookie deal.
When they drafted Mitchell Trubisky and moved up to get him, it was thrilling. I didn't get the problem with them moving up to get. I was like, wow, but not only are they getting a quarterback, they're trading up, which is like the second most exciting thing in all of sports to trade up in the draft.
Texter writes in, hey, why did you come back to Chicago and not stay in Kansas City where your real fandom lies, Parkins? Enough with Mahomes.
Right, you're right.
Yes, he's generational, but Bears fans don't care. Indiana,
yep.
Bryant.
Why?
Are you? Is he really like? Are you really that insecure about it? Like he's amazing. Deshaun is amazing. Either one of them could have been here. You have the guy who sucks. It sucks. I don't want to live in Kansas City because I'd get to talk about Pat Mahomes.
It freebases.
That's right.
I want to live in my hometown and my city with my friends and my family and make more money than I ever was going to be able to in Kansas City, and then bitch and moan about how the Bears still have a bad quarterback. That's what I want.
I looked it up, too. He's actually – Patrick Mahomes plays in a different – conference than the Bears, dude. Not the same division. Like, if this was a Packers quarterback, then I'd get some of the unreasonable hate. But yeah, we're in a position as Bears fans where we could just kind of like, Kansas City is harmless to the Bears in terms of competition.
Yeah, man, it sure
right
is.
And you don't need to hate. It's on. Like I said, nobody needs me being 30 pounds overweight. I do nobody any good. It does you no good to hate on Patrick Mahomes, nor the Kansas City Chiefs, for that matter.
But it's also just still relevant because Ryan Pace is here, and he's going to get to pick another quarterback. Like, they're drafting a QB this year. Whether they trade for a veteran, sign a vet, they are drafting a quarterback this year in some round. They got 8 draft picks. They're taking one. So that means Ryan Pace has taken one, and he hasn't answered for his failed, flawed process of 2017. So I don't care that it's an old story. It's a relevant story.
Will there be 7 quarterbacks on Field C in Lake Forest this year duking it out as the field goal kickers did in 2019? Could that be the scenario?
I like that as a possibility.
Yeah.
I do. If you miss George McCaskey, we'll play it for you at 5 o'clock. I want to take a brief football departure from a big scoop that was broken by our very own Bruce Levine, and it matters for Matt Spiegel's grand game of baseball. Next on The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Danny Parkin Show Flashback.
I was a little surprised, Theo. We had like almost 100 people yesterday when the news came in were texting the show saying Theo Epstein, Commissioner of Baseball. Is that something that interests you at all?
I'm interested in baseball thriving. You know, I think I love the game to its core, and it's a huge part of who I am. Like I'm not myself when I'm not around the game. And so I'm happy when baseball is the national pastime, hands down, no questions asked. Like everyone's just like, oh yeah, baseball is awesome this year. Everyone's talking about their favorite team. It's a great season. People are locked in. I love to be in a city in the postseason when everyone is groggy and late for work and getting absolutely nothing done because they're staying up till 1 a.m. watching the games and can't fall asleep. Like that is awesome. And so I just want our sport to thrive. And
so that was when Theo Epstein officially left the Cubs, when he called into the show on his last day. If you missed George McCaskey, we'll play it for you at 5 o'clock. Martin Brody is in. It's the Danny Parkin Show on The Score. Bruce Levine had the scoop, Brody, that Theo Epstein has joined Major League Baseball as what they're calling a consultant with regards to on-field matters. I'm going to just read a little bit from this press conference here. Rob Manfred said, Theo is one of the most accomplished and thoughtful people in our sport. I am grateful that he has accepted our invitation to complement our ongoing efforts and provide his insights on making the best game in the world even better for the next generation of fans. How they opened it is basically saying he's going to serve Major League Baseball as a consultant regarding on-field matters under the supervision of the commissioner and the competition committee. Epstein will work with baseball analytics experts from the commissioner's office and the clubs to determine the likely effects of various contemplated rule changes. Theo's quote in the press release, "It is an honor to assist the efforts by Major League Baseball and the competition committee to improve the on-field product, and I appreciate Commissioner Manfred asking me to be a part of these important conversations. As the game evolves, we all have an interest in ensuring the changes we see on the field make the game as entertaining and action-packed as possible for the fans while preserving all that makes baseball so special. I look forward to working with interested parties throughout the industry to help us collectively navigate toward the very best version of our game." And here's what I'll say. He is very qualified for this job, and it's not going to take him a lot of preparation. Like, he's been preparing for that job his whole life. It's a consulting gig. I have no idea what they're paying him. He clearly doesn't need the money. He walked away from $10 million from the Cubs. He will get an opportunity to run a baseball club again whenever the hell he wants it. But this is something I've talked to Theo about on the air and off the air. He has a lot of opinions on the actual product that's on the field and how there has been an inverse relationship between analytics coming into the game, becoming more prevalent, and then people like him building their team in the mold of the analytics to help them win as much as possible, but that's come at a detriment to the actual quality of play on the field in terms of watchability and entertainment for its fans. Like, he is acutely aware of it, and he wants to fix it. And Mark Rohde just froze and maybe got disconnected. So
what a way to freeze, though, right there.
He looks great. He was complaining earlier that Twitch adds 10 pounds.
Yeah.
Frozen Twitch, I'll say 15 to 20.
He really looks like he's just in awe of you.
Yeah, it's true. He's just like smiling lovingly, pursed lips, ready to speak, but really just like, man, that Parkins, he makes such eloquent points, especially when he's talking about Theo Epstein. Could you imagine if Theo Epstein and Pat Mahomes and Deshaun Watson were to hang out? I would love to be the fourth. No, sorry.
Speaking of Deshaun Watson, did you see Cordarrelle Patterson tweeting Deshaun Watson?
Dude, Cordarrelle Patterson might be my favorite Bear.
He really is, yeah.
Like, that guy takes swings on social media to recruit people to the Bears. Like
tampering type swings, some might
that's
say.
That's what I'm saying. Deshaun Watson is under contract. He is not a free agent. He is not a draft pick. He is like, I do not give a bleep. I want him. Like, Foles is here. They haven't officially moved on from Mitch yet, though, of course, he is a free agent. And he's just like, yeah, I want him. Let's go, Deshaun. Come to Chicago. What a legend. What a legend. But Theo, basically what he thinks is that because the numbers showed that strikeouts and walks, let me put it this way, because the numbers showed that home runs and walks were so advantageous that teams were willing to take the strikeouts, because it used to be, striking out, it's embarrassing. But it's like, oh, actually, if you put it in play and you hit a double play, it can be worse than striking out. Like, so strikeouts got viewed as less of a bad thing than they used to be, and walks got valued as a better thing than they used to be. So they tried to basically just say, strike out, walk, or hit the ball over the fence, and everything in between we're not as interested in. And this exact thing happened in basketball. They're like, layups, dunks, free throws, or three-pointers. So back to the basket, post-up game, mid-range, the analytics community removed it. And it was absolutely the right thing for the Warriors to try to shoot as many threes as possible, because three is worth more than two and all of it. But it makes the game a little bit less enjoyable to watch when you remove the big man component from it. And it's the same thing in baseball. When you remove stolen bases and hit and runs and balls in play and just balls in play, action, it makes the game less enjoyable to watch. And I remember Theo told me one time that it was like, I forgot what the number was. I want to say it was like over 4 minutes on average between balls in play in a game. And that's not between hits. Between balls in play, it would be over 4 minutes of real time in an average baseball game. And so when everyone was talking about like pace of play, the issue wasn't the length of the game time, it was the actual pace. You need to get more action into the game. And he's got a lot of ideas, some of which he shared on the air, some of which he hasn't, but like basically anything is on the table for that guy, including reducing the number of roster spots that would be allowed to be allocated for pitchers, so that pitchers would have to go longer into games, and so you wouldn't be able to just have four fireballers throw 100, come in every single game out of the bullpen and be impossible to hit and strike dudes out. If you only could carry 10 pitchers on your 25-man roster, you would need to get more out of your starters, and then you'd see starters go a third time through the lineup, and there'd be fewer relief pitchers to go to, and while the players' union might have a problem with that because that would take jobs away from some pitchers, it would give jobs to position players. And, like, that's a creative idea. I mean, making the mound further back, changing the ball, all sorts of different things. Looking at the shift. Like, some of these are good ideas. Some of these are bad ideas. Some of these ideas I haven't thought about fully, to be perfectly honest with you. But, like, those are the types of things that Theo thinks about and talks about all the time if you get into a baseball conversation with him just about the sport. And this was like the worst kept secret in baseball. He is uniquely qualified for this, and he's smarter than just about everyone in the sport. So, Tanny, I think your game is in good hands there. Theo.
Yeah, I lobbied for that. You know, I was excited about those prospects. Someone who doesn't just openly despise the game that he's presiding over. I think that would be good for baseball. Call that a hot take, but I think that would be good for our game.
Yes. Yeah. And he will leave that job. And this will be, whether it's a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, I'm not sure. But he will admit to the great conflict of it, where who knows how many rule changes he'll be able to get approved in this role. And we're talking about Theo Epstein becoming a consultant for on-field stuff with Major League Baseball to kind of work through how to make the game more enjoyable and entertaining. And by the way, did you see what I just did? I just knocked over my ring light. I got a new ring light. Is it better?
Again, with the ring light? Good Lord. I'm so sick of hearing about this thing.
You do look better. Like, it does legitimately look better. Yeah, and Grody just lost internet. Just a little update for the people. He'll be back when he finds his internet again. Walked out the door.
I'm now
it's always the last place you looked.
Always. So I'm now holding a light with my hands, doing a solo show with a shard piece of glass like falling off of this light. This is a potential fire hazard, ladies and gentlemen.
Fingers crossed.
But the conflict that Theo... Yeah, I know. You're rooting for it. Thank you, Shane.
Hey, Tanny but, said fingers crossed.
But you crossed your fingers as I said it.
Yeah, I was trying to jinx you saying fingers crossed. You know, like when you say something and cross your fingers?
Yeah, you guys are a real team. When I come back into the studio eventually, are we going to be back on the same team, or are you guys still going to be like rooting against
them? Here's the thing. You're going to hate this because I put up two giant monitors in front of me. So you know how you love to make the EP move the monitor out of his face so you can make direct eye contact with him the whole time? Put two big monitors here. I can't see where you're going to be sitting.
Well, wait. Well, why would you do that?
Because I need to.
Why wouldn't I?
Well, first of all, right now there's nobody in there, so it doesn't matter. But like right now I've got two giant 28-inch monitors in front of me so I can maximize work.
And I'm hoping one day I'll have the ability to roll on the show live here in front of me. So I want to have another monitor here so none of us will be able to see anyone in that other studio opposite of us.
I'm never coming back.
Oh, no.
Dang it, please.
No, but seriously, you should come back soon.
Okay, well, we'll discuss.
I hate the show call at 1 o'clock.
We don't have to do the show call.
Yes, we do.
We do have to do the show call, but it's just like the whole... conference call. What is this? 1998. It's tough.
Yeah, that's rough. I mean, we, as opposed to right now, where we're in the year 2021, and I'm holding up a light with my own arm, and Mark Grody can't get on his internet.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. Well, do you want a break so you can fix your ring light?
Yeah, I probably should. But we'll get back to the conflict that Theo's going to have if and when he takes another job at George McCaskey at 5 o'clock on the Score.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Hey, is Mark Grody back?
Hi, I'm back.
Awesome.
I think. Am I?
Yeah, no, I can
3, 2, 1. There we go. Yeah.
I can't see
that
you,
was
but
weird.
I can hear you.
Yeah. Yeah, the seeing part, that I don't know if we're going to be able to have...
That's fine.
The Zoom, but hey, at least you could hear me. What did I miss? Go.
Oh, we talked about Theo Epstein.
What a story, Mark.
Yeah, you can say that again.
It was a great one. You didn't miss anything. Don't worry about it. Yeah,
all right.
It's fine.
I heard Shane lamenting the concept of the conference call, the pre-show meeting, You don't like over-communicating, huh?
Well, the over-communicating is fine. Just the fact that we do it via phone call.
Oh.
You know?
You'd rather meet via Zoom or meet in person.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think that's too much to ask. I'm not like saying it against you. We've talked about it. It's a move that'll happen. Just not ready to roll that out yet, because obviously there are lots of steps to make that happen.
Or digital rundown would be good, I think.
Yeah, we have that already, though.
Oh, we do?
Yeah,
okay.
We do have that. Right. Just some guys don't look at it.
Some guys definitely don't.
Okay, well, my digital rundown today says Wednesday, January 13th.
Maybe you should try to hit the refresh button, because mine doesn't.
I didn't even know there was a refresh button.
Huh. Can I talk to you guys?
Now it says Thursday, January 14th.
Funny how that works.
Go back to doing what you're doing, Mark.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
Yeah, good. Just talk. Open mic talk.
Yeah. Can I talk to you guys about over-communication?
Yeah.
Can I talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. Let's talk about it.
So, I first started hearing that from our boss, Mitch Rosen, over-communication. He's big on that, which is a good thing, right? I mean, because we want everything to be right, and if you need to ask an extra question, it's okay. I get in trouble at this radio station for over-communicating. So during the holidays, we were trying to figure all the different holiday time slots out. If I'm doing the Mullinghaw pregame show, what days I'm doing it, what days I'm actually hosting. And Mitch sent out a very comprehensive, a very good email to let us know specifically where everybody's going, what everybody's doing. And then I over-communicated, and I sent a text to Mitch, and I said, "Hey, Mitch, just am I doing the pregame show tomorrow?" And the message I got back was, "Mark, read the email." I get in trouble for over-communicating. So does anybody else get in trouble for over-communicating?
Then that's when you know he's mad, when it's just your name, period.
Yeah. I was like, "Whoa, Mark, what did I do?"
Shane.
I was like so upset. I was like,
"Yeah, man, I'm used to it. Don't worry."
Yeah, I want to make sure over-communicate, but yeah, so okay.
How often does Mitch get mad at you, Grody?
Not often. Not often at all. But every once in a while.
Okay, because me neither. Like I hear these stories and I'm like, man, I do not see this side of Mitch very often. So I'm just curious.
I have a great relationship with Mitch Rosen. So I guess it freaks me out when occasionally I do get a message like that with the name, right? Like that's like hearing your mom, Mark Edward Grody. But when Mitch sends me the Mark, comma, or maybe there's no comma, read your email. You know, so I don't know. I over communicated and I got in trouble.
In fairness, had you read the email?
I did, and I was just scared. You know, especially when you do mornings, Danny. Like when you're doing morning stuff, you're always a little freaked out, and you always want to make sure you got it right because, like, there's no going back. You know, once you go to bed, it's like, all right, I have the next thing that's going to happen is my alarm is going to go off at 3:50, I think. And you certainly don't want to do it if you don't have to. So I just, for everybody's sake, I wanted that peace of mind, that final clinching text message.
All right, I respect it. Mitch Rosen does love over-communication, and spelling is not a priority. This is what we know about him, and we love him. He is our fearless leader. So did you do the mornings today? Did you do 5 to 6 today?
I did not. I said, you know what? I'm doing the Parco show today, so why don't we slide Zach Zaidman in there? So Zach did the Mullinghaw pregame show today from 5 to 6. I do believe I'm back on tomorrow, unless Mitch Rosen wants to let me sleep in tomorrow, too. Mitch?
I'd be surprised.
Yeah, I'd be surprised, too. Yeah. I'm going under the assumption that my alarm clock will be going off at 3:50, and I'll be talking to Les Grobstein at 4:45, which I adore.
Of course you do. Of course you do. There's no better man for the job of talking to Les Grobstein at 4:45 than you, Mark Grody. You were built for it.
It's my duty. I seriously was. Like, I seriously think. And I do have Les now believing that it is he and I that actually started transition at the Score. You know, it wasn't Mike North and Dan Jiggetts and all those guys. Oh, yeah, we started it. Yep, it'll be in the book.
Grody, you missed a real gem today in your normal slot. It was producer Mike Rankin and Grobber really having it out there. Mitch tipped me to it around 4:45 a.m. It was Mike Rankin took exception to the fact that Ted Phillips was even out there during the Zoom call yesterday. And Grobber kept saying, but he's the president. he runs the football. And Rankin's like, yeah, that's kind of my point. Why was he even there? That everyone does that. He's the president. And it just went on like that for about 13 minutes.
No.
Do you think Mike felt a sense of responsibility since I wasn't there? That okay, I got to get something working up here.
Yeah, we don't have the whole he expects to talk to an actual human being at 4:40 right. every day. So right.
the whole system
the
is off.
Yeah,
it's like right. Pavlov's Zach dog was talking. With the bell. Les starts unless salivating at 4:30, 4:40.
Yeah. Wait, what? Hey, why wasn't that Zach?
Yeah, I don't know. Was Zach? Maybe Zach was on. Maybe I.
No,
I had
no I think
idea.
You're the only one who does transition with Grobber.
Wow.
Seriously, nobody else does it. Like Z-Pac wouldn't do it. Nobody would do it.
Right. Dirty little secret. It's in my contract. It's part of like how we keep everything happy. And you know, because Les has to stay happy. He's a full-time host at this radio station. Must keep the Grobber happy. And it makes me happy too.
Yeah. That's why when we did the bet, like loser has to do the double shift and do our show and then do overnights with Les and then come in the next day and do it again. I was like, man, that's not even a punishment for me. Les is a treasure. He's an institution.
Oh, right. I mean,
I love it. I don't want to do it all the time, but I enjoy it.
It's a good way to practice using your words to start the day, because we all have to do that when we wake up. Like, okay, I'm using my words right now.
That's a challenge for you.
Well, it can be at that time of the day. And the beautiful part is not knowing. Like, sometimes I would have an agenda with Les. Like, maybe when we first started doing it, I'd be like, okay, I wish.
Are you a Looney Tunes guy, Robert?
Oh, hell yeah.
By the way, Mitch Rosen has weighed in. I am on tomorrow, just so you guys know. 4 to 5. Or excuse me. Well, I guess 4:45 until 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. But Grobber and I, yep, 4:45. And who knows what decade we'll be in, you know?
Yeah, but I was gonna say we'll be listening, but someone in the audience will be listening, and then they'll tell us if Eddie Gold happens, which is great, because then we get to bring it out and we get to learn about Looney Tunes. If people miss George McCaskey, he talked Ted Phillips, he talked Deshaun Watson, he talked organizational structure and football guys, or lack thereof. It's next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.